Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Mac and T Show podcast. Here are your hosts, Brian McKay and T. David.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T. Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top, we're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.
Welcome back to the Mac and T Show podcast. T, your Lakers, they decided to, for a couple of hours on Saturday night, that they were, you know, gonna make the NBA look really, really good. And against the Rockets, you know, the game was really, really competitive. So I heard.
That's hilarious, because I'm
asleep
myself.
It harkened back to the Malice in the Palace times.
Okay, now you exaggerate.
I'm going too far.
We both experienced that at the same time, in the same space, in the same state.
Yes, we did. But no, in all seriousness, the scuffle, I call it the Saturday night spit and scuffle.
The scrum up, yeah. It was a scrum.
If you haven't seen the video by now, it's all over Twitter. It's the NBA's version of what, you know, they slowed it down and they kind of zoomed in. And even though Rajon Rondo has denied that he spit on Chris Paul, I'm sorry.
Let somebody edited that video. Yeah, like spit on.
There was some sort of saliva emanating from his lips and went, you know, in the direction of Chris Paul. Here in the aftermath, because it wasn't just those two involved, it, you know, wound up being a couple of other players. Brandon Ingram has been suspended 4 games, and he basically suspended 4 games for, one, throwing a punch, and two, just inciting it and, you know, just escalating it beyond what it needed to be. He comes running in there, he pushes James Harden, he starts swinging all crazy. So he's suspended 4 games. Rajon Rondo is suspended 3, and according to the league's source, he said that Rondo has been suspended for instigating a physical altercation with and spitting and throwing multiple punches at Paul. And Chris Paul was suspended his 2 games for poking at and making contact with the face of Rondo and throwing multiple punches. Apparently, and it goes on to say Rondo received 1 more game than Chris Paul because he threw the first punch.
That's just full. They full of. Now, let's get this off the table right there.
All right.
See, anybody that know me know how I feel about spitting on people. Rondo is just so egregiously out of order. Like, that's just so gross, disrespectful. Number one, he started it from spitting, but you cannot expect to push your finger into somebody's face, nose, eye, and don't expect them to hit back. So maybe they need to reframe the sentence, because he didn't start it with the punch. He started with the spittle. Now, I feel like some officials need to be fined. And I know we ain't got to that point in the league yet. We probably add that to the end of the show. My soliloquy for the end.
No, you go right ahead to talk about the officials.
So, I watched it several times, because one, I kept trying to see, like, did the boy spit? And I was like, he ain't really got no reason to lie about somebody spitting on him. And then I was like, it really don't look like anybody even really moved. Like, they was just squaring off, standing, like they were getting their last instructions before the fight, which who knew that was going to be the real thing. But you know how the ref bring the boxes together and they stand there face to face. And I was like, what are they doing? Anyway, it was an official right there that saw them standing like that. Uh-huh. He walked past them. He should, like that, you know, it was heated. He should have stepped between that. Did you see the official that was right there?
I did. I recall.
I was like, why did he step between them? Like, you know, two men standing that close to each other ain't nothing good about to come out of that. I mean, I know it. And I ain't no man. He a man. He should know it. Anyway, second thing. The officials, like, it was too many people on the court for this to get out of hand the way it did. I ain't see but one official. Where the other two disappeared to? Did you see the other two?
No.
Is it not supposed to be three officials on the court?
There is.
Because all the coaches did their job in keeping the players on their benches from coming on. So I was just like, officiating, this was bad. When Carmelo pulled Ingram away from the pile, nobody was like, okay, you need to stop walking towards him. Now, Lonzo Ball was with him. But Lonzo kept walking behind and kept walking behind. And then you start to see them acting like they wanted to have words. I was like, this officiating crew, they let this get way out of hand. And I didn't watch the game, so it's probably a little cheap shots here and there that they should have knew that this is about to get ugly.
Yes.
Just like, okay, we're going to go to the Michigan State game later. But anyway, I think the officials didn't do their job very well. Rondo, he just can't spit on nobody. And a part of me didn't doubt that he spit it just because my mind always went back to when he was sweating and he took that basketball and wiped his sweat on it intentionally before that boy had to shoot them free throws. And I was like, I hope he didn't do it. And I didn't see him do it until I saw Rachel Nichols, shout out Rachel Nichols, Twitter with a little video of it in slow motion. but yeah, it was like, I don't know what Ingram was on. Somebody got on his last nerves because he don't strike me as a person that be out here wilding out like he did. But yeah.
Yeah, he came in there just a swinging. And I don't know.
Not even the swinging part. I'm not okay with fighting. But, you know, when your boys, if we go back to the pickup game, you don't even know how to know what happened. But if somebody on your team that's your boy get into a fight, you're going to jump in there and fight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the beginning when he just pushed old boy out the way and then started bucking up at the official.
Yeah, that was the other part. That was the other part of his suspension was how he talked to the official like he was going to do something to him.
And so I was just like, okay, a lot must be happening. Maybe he felt like he was getting fouled. And they weren't calling it, and that messed the James Harden pull. I don't know how that's a foul. Like, if I am running down the court and he runs into me, like, the boy ain't goofy.
Mm-hmm.
You saw him lose his balance and start falling towards the baseboard or under the rim, and then you get a foul called on you. Yeah, a lot of people going to not be happy about that, especially if it continues to happen.
Right.
But, yeah, that is that. So let's go to LeBron James. I'm going to ask you, how do you feel about him as a teammate with what you saw transpire?
Yeah, I knew this was going to come up because I saw he was getting beaten down on Twitter over it.
And you know I don't have social media. He was all getting right. Beat down in my head, but go ahead.
I mean, it's LeBron's character. I wasn't surprised by it that he, you know, he basically was pulling his banana boat boy, Chris Paul, away. It didn't surprise me. When I saw it happen, I said, that's you know, it just seemed like...
How do you feel about LeBron as a teammate? That, you're not answering the question, sir.
Oh, I'm avoiding the question. No, I know. I get where everyone's coming from. He's a Laker. He's not on the Rockets. He, you know, I understand you're friends with who you're friends with, but in the heat of battle, when it's your team against their team, Larry and Michael and Magic might have all been friends off the court, but when it was in the heat of battle, they were trying to get each other. And I ain't trying to say he should go in there and incite the fight or anything.
And it ain't about the fighting part.
You need to be there for your teammates. You need to be. You should have. Yeah, yeah. He should have pulled Rondo out of that, and he should have been calming him down. Now, that was his responsibility.
I'm fine with you grabbing the first person you grab, because in the fight, like, I've seen people fighting, and you just try to pull to get it apart.
Right.
This is my problem. He walks his boy under the basket,
then
walks him all the way to half court with his arm on him. And I'm like, okay, you got him out of the fight. You don't need to be the peacemaker now, because you're just looking bad right now in my eyes. Then I'm feeling like you should have been, after Lance Stevenson went over to Ingram, you should have been over there like trying to see what was going on with him and like, hey, calm down, young fella. We got a long season. We need you to, you know, keep your head. We need you for the rest of this game. Not over here coddling your friend. And
yeah,
then
yeah.
Go ahead.
No, no, I was just going to reiterate what you were saying. I agree. You know, the initial pulling Chris Paul away from the ruckus, whatever you want to call it.
You was going to call it a fruit.
I was going to combine them. but yeah, I'm perfectly fine with him, you know, initially pulling him out of there. But like you said, after that, you need to go get your teammates, your comrades. You get them calmed down. You need to go get in the young Brandon Ingram's face, calm him down, because he was obviously on another level.
Yeah, but he was on another level heated.
I'm not going to say that there's anything he could have said that would have calmed Rondo down, but at the same time, that's your teammate. You should have gone after that.
Yeah, because see, Rondo walked him, but he just walked onto the locker room because he knew he had got kicked out of the game. After that, he just walked. Somebody was one of the Lakers, because they had on the hoodie things that they wear now, walked him to the locker room. Okay, LeBron goes all the way. And then when you can hear Chris Paul at the table saying he spit on me, LeBron is still standing over there. Wasn't they got 4 or 5 red shirts right there with him and the coaches and everybody at the score table? Why are you still standing there and not going to see, like, what's going on with your people?
I'm telling you.
I feel kind of way about that. And I feel like if I was in the locker room, I'd be giving him the side eye because, yeah, when it go down, I need you to, you don't need to fight.
No.
I just need you to be talking to your people and not worried about your friend.
Yeah, because
like you said, we don't see Detroit and the Lakers go at it. Imagine them get a little brotherly kiss at the beginning of the game and then it's on. We ain't friends no more until this game over.
Right.
And if your friend don't understand that, then that's another problem for y'all to solve at another time. But there's no way your friend should not be like, yeah, bro, I didn't expect you to do anything. But I'm starting to feel some kind of way because he also was disrespectful to Lance Stephenson in the preseason game where Lance got kicked out. And he was doing all that hee-heeing and ha-haing.
With Golden State, yes.
And,
Draymond Green.
Draymond. You know, they bumping, ha-ha, hee-hee. And I was like, I hope you're not laughing because your teammate just got ejected from the game because he took offense to a hard foul, which is not necessary in preseason. But that appeared to be what they were laughing at. Am I incorrect? Because I could be wrong. They could have been laughing at something else.
Oh, yeah. They were making light of, you know, the fact that they treating each other like they were actually about to get into a big old fight, you know, jokingly. Like it was all just a big joke.
So this is the problem with, okay, we're going to talk about this at the end. Go ahead.
we can get into it because, I mean, this, like I said when I started, this is LeBron. This is LeBron's character. I think this is one of the criticisms when it comes to him. There are many, and I'll be the first, because I have criticized him, and I'll be the first to admit that the many criticisms he gets, he does not deserve. This is one I believe he truly does deserve. I think LeBron has a tendency to be concerned about LeBron and LeBron only. And
but I think this generation, Macaroni.
This is true.
And I think that this is only going to get worse because they all want to be friends and don't seem to have that we friends when this game over. I remember when I was in school, some of my teammates used to, you know, they'll go to half court and speak to the other team, you know, when you're out there warming up. And I felt some kind of way, and I never said anything, but I was like, I don't care who I know over there. Right now, we trying to beat y'all. And so we don't even need to speak. We can speak after the game. We could have spoke, you know, on the phone, text, whatever, before the game. We ain't had no text message. I'm tripping. But anyway, phone, whatever it was, before the game. Like, when we in this little 9450, we ain't got nothing to say to each other. Good luck, maybe. And that's about it. But they all, you know, they just so friendly now. It's just a mess. That's what I think it is. And I rarely pay any attention to the NBA during this time of the year. However, since this man has come to my team, I was like, I'm going to, you know, keep my eye on it. We might actually can win. Speaking of which, I don't know that we're going to win 50 games because I think this is going to be detrimental to the team chemistry. Because if you that into your boy, I don't know how you're going to feel about Rondo. And I don't know how much, you know, your friendship and winning, like what that lies in your hierarchy of needs.
Well, just thinking of Rondo in general, we already have seen him in the way he has treated teammates. He didn't feel too, you know, or former teammates, you know, the whole Ray Allen thing.
You know, he threw, he just deleted old boy after he left and went to Miami.
So this could be a deal, Ray Allen. This could be a deal where he could.
Right. So this could be one of them, like, he go and watch the video and be like, what? Like, I know that's your friend, but wait a minute. So this can mess with, and Ingram, because Ingram seemed to come to, the Ingram seemed the only one that came to, I know he was heated already, but he was like, oh, they down there, and he ran right to the fight. And again, I don't want you fighting, but I do want you to have that spirit. I'm going back to my old days. Me, it was, I'm telling you, SEC championship, I mean, not the championship, SEC tournament, and we sitting on the bench, I don't forget who we playing, and me, I'm on the bench, Crystal Parker is sitting next to me, and I don't know who's sitting next to us, Coach Ross on one side of us, and I think it was another coach. So, Malakia gets into a little scuffle, and both of us jump up. Now, if you know either of us, you know that we not necessarily like no fighting, but we both, like, we both on our feet. And Coach Ross was like, sit down. But we was ready. And nobody else, and then you look down the bench, ain't nobody else even move like that. And I was like, I need you to be about that life. And anybody that know me know I don't hit other people's children, but I'm not just about to be watching while y'all about to be jumping on my teammate. That ain't going to be it.
Well, y'all did that out of instinct.
Exactly.
You know?
And, so these young whippersnappers, I can't.
Well, speaking of the fallout from it, like you said, it could be some chemistry issues. The Lakers' first 9 games of the season are against West opponents. 6 of the 9 are against a playoffs team from the previous year. And over the next 4, Lakers will face primarily teams in a similar range in terms of preseason projections.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm reading this article here, the West ends up anything like last season where 3 games separate.
Yeah, you need all these wins you can get early. That's why I'm taking my 50 off the table, because I don't think, I'm serious. I think the team chemistry is going to be off again, because I ain't saying that I know anything about Ingram and Rondo's relationship, but he sure saw, and I'm sure he saw who it was and didn't care, and he ran down there, and I'm sure other teammates are like, and maybe men don't care, and just like, dude, like, you all walking down with him, like, we cool with you pulling them away, but then you walking with him, and acting like you ain't on his team, and you ain't never been on his team, so I don't even know how you could. Anyway, I felt some kind of way about that. I was like, you need to be checking on your boys. Okay. Seeing what's wrong with Ingram, that was my main thing. Like, why are you not trying to see why is he acting like he ain't got no sense?
I'm gonna make you a prediction on what could play out from this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the backup to Rondo?
Ball. He about to get at least 3 starts.
He's fixing to get him some more playing time here. He's fixing to be some starts in place of Rondo. Who have we not heard from in a long time?
I think Sweeve or whatever is going to get some playing time.
No, as it pertains to Lonzo Ball, who have we not heard from?
Oh, Lord, I hope his daddy don't come out.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, it's don't you worry. Oh, it's coming.
No, I think he would have said something by now.
He's waiting on that first start when Lonzo throws a lob to LeBron or vice versa. That's what we're waiting on. And as soon as it happens, oh, my.
It could turn out to a good opportunity, because Lonzo going to get some more minutes. They're going to be forced to get them because they ain't no other point guard, because Ingram will be another person that will be bringing the ball up. I think Josh Hart going to get some more minutes. And I think Sweeb, the kid that we got from Kansas, I don't know why he ain't even been on the court. Maybe he can't guard nobody or something, because he can shoot. We need somebody that can hit a shot consistently. He ain't had his opportunity to see if he could do that in NBA or not yet. Now, continuing on my soliloquy that we're going to start right now.
Continue.
NBA, we're going to have to go back to doing a little hand check. Listen to these scores. 131 to 120. 133 to 111. 115 to 112. 100 to 98. 124 to 112. 140 to 136. 116 to 115. 113 to 12, 117. Brian, these people are not playing any defense. It is nobody that really is a connoisseur of basketball wants to see an all-star game every time they turn on the TV.
No, I agree. I know.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
I know they took the handshaking away because they wanted, you know, more free-flowing. But this is ridiculous. Like, this is... You remember when you be talking about, used to be saying, oh, somebody bust the clock. You do that. Like, now we're going to be saying, oh, they scored 200.
Yeah, it's coming. Don't you worry.
Like, the Mavericks had 140 points. The Timberwolves was 136. Who played in the defense in that game?
Yesterday,
the Hawks now. Mind you, the Hawks, what star they got on their team? I ain't going to even say superstar.
They don't have a superstar, but they got...
They had 133 points.
What's the boy? Why can't I ever remember the boy from Oklahoma's name?
I don't know.
The
We don't even know if he going to make it.
Yeah, but he's basically their show.
I mean, you got Vince Carter. You got the youngest and the oldest, I guess, then. I don't know. But 133 points. The Kings scored 131 points. The Thunder had 120.
Yeah.
We got to bring back hand checking. So people just ain't just going to the basket and then just kicking out for these free layups.
I mean, the rule
jump shots.
The rule they have in place now is the entire reason you hear people like Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan and, you know, all the, you know, you hear that they've said or they make comments that, you know, if they could play now, with the rules they are now, they'd average 50 points a game. There's reasons they say that. You know, people sit back and all that's just old heads just running their mouth. No, they played a different game.
If you could not barely touch Charles, these people would just have been averaging 50 points. No, I'm serious, because you know that you could barely touch him when he could play. But if you could if you could do this, he would just be out there dunking left and right, layups, little turn around jump shot here, turn around jump shot there, another layup, another dunk. Cause you know, with Dumas he had his hands on his hip, and you know, Michael just was good enough to beat that. But you got people out here that shouldn't even be scoring all these points, making them look like they stars.
And not to keep laboring on Michael, but there's a point where it was way back when they used to always show the little videos of the Piston Bulls rivalry, and they talked about the Jordan rules that they instituted to, right, you know, to basically stop him. I mean, Rick Mahorn actually says in the interview, he looks dead at the camera and says, "How else are we gonna stop him? How else you want us to guard him?" We had to rough him up. We had to be able to, you know. And I ain't ever.
Back then, not being able to put a hand on 6'9" Magic.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And he just get to the basket whenever and just shoot up all these little guards.
Yeah, there's no way.
Who going to be able to go Isaiah Thomas if you can't handshake?
No, can't catch him.
I'm talking about Isaiah Thomas from Detroit Pistons.
I know. For the people, I know. Yeah, you could, yeah. They wouldn't be able to catch him. They're too fast.
And as we had this conversation, I did not read this article, but I'm looking at something where Draymond Green, and I quote, "It's been called pretty tight," Green told reporters. "We were told that defense isn't really an emphasis anymore in this league. So I think you're seeing it all around the league with these high scores." He is saying what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just came across that same article. Yep.
That's ridiculous. Nobody wants to see an all-star game. Nobody wants to see the all-star game. Y'all tweaking it because all they do is just run up and down and shoot and score and think it's called basketball.
And the ratings.
They need to take away the defensive arm. If they ain't going to change handshaking, they should just let you sit in the lane and do something. You know, not play a zone, but you know how they got these rules. You got to be so close to your man.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the real rules of basketball is called help defense. Like, and we as in the NBA has decided, oh, we don't want to play real basketball. We want to play, put on a show basketball. If you're a solid, fundamentally sound basketball player, because somebody's in help defense is not going to, it don't bother college kids. You're supposed to be better than them. Anyway, so I'm over that. The basket needs to be raised. And we have said this, and T has been saying this for 20 years. When this dude named Babone, somebody, the Serbian, stand and touch the rim and dunk without jumping, that further emphasizes, improves my point. This basket should have been raised to 10 and a half, 11 feet. These athletes are getting bigger, and I can't understand it.
Yeah, the man T is referring to, he's actually 7'9". mind. He just dunked over the weekend, dunked in a game where he literally never left the ground.
He just grabbed and dunked. This is further proof that this rim needs to be go up.
Yeah.
You got LeBron and Durant, them, they do layup dunks. They barely jumping when they get in the lane.
I forget who I was talking to, but then this is really off subject at this point, but you brought up LeBron and made me think about it. It's very telling when you look out there and you see players who came in the same draft class, and, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years older than some. It shows you what a career could be like where you don't have any major injuries, mm-hmm. and what your career could be like when you experience some major, lower body extremity injuries, what have you. And I'm talking of LeBron as opposed to a Dwayne Wade, a Carmelo Anthony, because they're not on the same level. I mean, they came in on the same level, but here in year 17, with Dwayne Wade's injury history, Carmelo's injury history, and LeBron not really truly ever having one, and he's kind of on that Tom Brady deal where they don't need anything but kale and kale and water.
Definitely.
Excuse me. But let's transition to a little college football, unless you have any more.
No, just raise the rim, people, and do something, because this is ridiculous. It's just about to be a generation of people that don't really know what basketball look like, because a lot of people don't like college basketball enough to see it and understand help side defense. And Okay.
Before we get started to the real conversation of college football, I just want to get this off my chest. My Ole Miss Rebels,
Did they lose?
We against the top three defenses in the SEC, that's Alabama, LSU, and now Auburn. We have lost all three games. All three league losses, that's fine. I understand that happens. Ole Miss, big-time offensive total Ole Miss. They've gotten a total of 28 combined points in three games against those three teams. Scored only three touchdowns, six field goals, and were outscored 138-39 in those three games alone. I just can't.
This man about to be fired as soon as this stuff over.
I really believe that a change in defense is imminent. If it hadn't been already thought about, it needs to be.
Well, it should have been thought about when the Salukis or whatever that team was had all them points.
And I understand that part of it is, the caliber of the player, but the offense that we have is so just prolific when it's on and clicking. If we had just a little bit of a defense, even though I know this year doesn't mean anything because, it's our last year of bowl bands, but still.
That man ain't going to be that long, Brian. I'm just trying to.
Anyway, let me move on.
He don't want to want the job. Soon as the bad bowl band up and stuff, other people want the job. And they're just buying him out. Because I don't think they're paying him no great deal of money that they wouldn't be willing to buy him out.
If Nick Fitzgerald didn't get injured and they didn't beat State last year, he wouldn't be the coach today. The guy from NC State will fix and be named head coach. But then they won the Egg Bowl.
See? Yeah. So then that's that. So then let's talk about Michigan, Michigan State.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what happened with the chain link walking down the field, and then the boy felt some kind of way. Then he started tearing up the Spartan in the middle of the field before the game.
Yes, ripping it up with his cleats.
Yes, with his cleats just digging into the grass. And I was like, why is somebody out here getting this boy off this field?
I was waiting on someone, anyone, because he was doing it for quite a while.
Yes, he was stuck like he was trying to spell something. It was so bad they had to come out there and spray paint over it, put the white back in there, because he had dug it down to the dirt. Then Michigan, Harbaugh, and I like Harbaugh, he finally got him a big win. But for a while, I thought they was going to let it slip out of their hands, literally, because they just kept having a fumble fest. They were fine with that phone. They were fine with the other team phone. And I was like, well, y'all hold on to the ball. But then the man was like, well, when it rained, you see that they doing better. And I was like, well, you know what? You might be playing in the rain. Right. You should be able to hold on to the ball better than this. It is cold in my office. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But this, and you talk about him getting this big win against a rival, Michigan State. This could be the year that he actually gets Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, he definitely should, because Ohio State got beat up by Purdue. Now, I know they're going to get better.
Oh, yeah.
And they won't be overlooking Michigan. His defense is it. They tough.
And that's a game he sorely needs.
And if he run the table, if they beat Penn State, they got like Penn State, Indiana, somebody, and then Ohio State, they definitely going to be in the conversation for being in the bowl series.
Oh, my gosh. If they could get in there and give everybody what they want and let them play Alabama, I don't know what would happen. But because I don't, at this point, I don't foresee anyone beating Alabama unless Tua just falls apart.
They one injury away, and if Tua get hurt,
he's the one. He's the one. If he gets hurt, then it's a different conversation. But he's on another level. I can't wait for him to graduate or move on to the NFL in one more year.
Right, that's the good news, that he ain't gonna play all 4 years. He probably leave out the next year. That game, I was like, oh, I'm going to just see it for 2 seconds because I know it was going to be a blowout. Within like 4 minutes or something, it was 14-0 because I was just like, I can't. And then I turned it and went back to the Michigan State game and went back, and it was like 31 or something. And I was like, Lord, this is a shame. I'm surprised it was only 58-21. But, you know, I'm going to say this about Nick Saban. We all know he's a good coach, but he having the same luck that what's the dude that's coaching OKC that was at Florida?
Oh, Donovan.
He having that kind of similar luck because
Billy B.
If old boy doesn't play so poorly in that title game, old boy was going. Everybody said he was leaving. This new quarterback. What's his name?
Tua.
Tua. Tua was leaving.
Yeah, if Jalen Hurts had come out and played so horrible against Georgia in the first half and made the change at halftime, yeah, Tua was transferring.
He was out. And then people have been like, oh my God, he's so great. How did they let him go? I don't understand why he wasn't even starting last year with the way he playing. Like, he didn't just wake up like this and just over this summer get this good.
Yeah, I believe it's a word called stubborn.
Well, then there's that. So, to go back to why I compared to Florida's success in the last couple of years, remember we had the curly head dude and the Michigan kid? It was a white guy with a curly hair, and it was a black guy from Michigan that was our point guard. And if both of them hadn't left early to go to the NBA, which they weren't ready, but they went, Joakim Noah, none of them would have never got on the court. Green, none of them.
They would have been sitting.
They would have been sitting. And none of the things that occurred, looking back, I was like, that's kind of a similar situation. It's still a lot of football to be played, and I think it's going to be some fun times. Go Gators, we got Georgia this weekend.
Top 10 matchup, coming up. The number 7 against number 9.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you move up and you ain't play, but whatever. I guess you have to when Clemson get beat or whoever got beat. It wasn't Clemson. Ohio State got beat. Mm-hmm. Clemson not that good either. Let's just put that on the table. They've been winning, but I don't think they're that good.
They've been getting by because of their schedule.
Kentucky still rolling. That's good for us because that means that, you know, them coming to beat us don't look as bad as it would have if they had been the old Kentucky. Texas and A&M, Mississippi State, is that kind of a rivalry? Do they not like each other? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know if they consider it a rivalry or not.
A mini rivalry. Washington State and Stanford playing. That's a late game. I probably won't see that. But the game that I'll be interested in, ladies and gentlemen, would be in Jacksonville at 3:30, the biggest cocktail party in college football.
TIAA Bank Field, to be exact.
Yeah, that'll be the game that I'll have my eyes on. doing a lot of praying for the Gators. and I'm gonna just say this until somebody can tell me why Notre Dame is supposed to be good, because I just don't think they are, and they haven't been in so long. But you would swear that they were Alabama. They just had fell off for a couple of years. Every time you hear about them, you just think, like, why are they just all in love with them? They're not that good.
Why are they playing Navy in San Diego?
Because they're independent, and Navy probably was like, we're not coming to
South Bend.
Oh, yeah, Ohio, wherever they are.
Indiana.
What
is your have you seen Oklahoma play?
Oklahoma, they got good offense. Their defense is not that good, and that's gonna always be their Achilles heel. Is any team that's got a decent offense gonna get in trouble?
I wonder what your thoughts were on Kyler Murray, the quarterback. He's not bad.
He almost like Tua. He ain't as good as Tua, but he athletic and run. He's small, because Tua don't seem to be that big unless he just look little or something.
Uh-huh.
He's small. He can throw it. Well, so he might be left-handed, too.
So what's that? What does they call him? The poor man's Tua?
Yeah, poor man's Tua.
Yeah, I'm trying to see any other game. Clemson, Florida State. Florida State's awful.
Florida State awful. They need to stay awful, too. I don't need them to wake up at any time this year. They can wake up another time.
Yeah, it's gonna be a nice little week. It's a good week for Ole Miss to have off week.
Cause if they off, who they got next?
Then we play. Who is it? South Carolina in Oxford.
Yeah, cause it should be a big game. Cause Georgia and Alabama.
Georgia goes from y'all and then play Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Alabama LSU will play.
Yes.
Are y'all off next week? Week after next?
No. We had our bye week last.
Right. Missouri.
We played like Indiana or something.
Y'all got Missouri.
Missouri. That's one of them trap games.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably we'll beat Georgia, and then, Lord, I hope our head don't. I just don't trust our quarterback. That's really my concern, that the quarterback going to do some dumb stuff like he did against Vanderbilt. We walked the ball down the field, he threw an interception. I just feel like he's going to do some dumb stuff.
It could get real interesting if Florida and Kentucky both win this week, then Georgia beats Kentucky next week, y'all beat Missouri next week. It could get real interesting in the East.
Yeah, because then it'd be like, okay, Kentucky beat us, we're going to need Kentucky to lose again. And if we beat Georgia, we'll be having to cheer for Georgia, because otherwise, if Georgia don't beat Kentucky,
right,
it should be some fun times.
Yes.
In college football coming up. I just want to say, college football players, thank you for nothing, for wanting money for your, and I understand you want, you know, be paid for your likeness and image, whatever you think that nobody, you just no more, no game, no PlayStation games. Now you can't get NCAA, like that's what you used to wait for, was the NCAA football and basketball come out. Now you just be like, you ain't like no first person shooter. You just like, well, yeah, I play my old games.
Right.
They trying to juice up the 2K for the NBA, but you know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want to end the show today by telling you about what our next couple of episodes are going to entail. We are going to read you chapters of...
Passages.
Of T's novel that she has written entitled All of Me. And you want to give just a little bit of synopsis of what the book is about?
Well, you follow the journey of a preacher's son. And when you find out what he does for a living,
praise Jesus,
it's a lot.
Yes, you're not gonna see it coming. It's not. It's not
your typical. You're not gonna be prepared for what he does for a living. And they got some other little side stories on relationships, and yeah, This is a good one, ladies and gentlemen.
Old Network, we're looking for
you. Enjoy.
Call us. Old Network, we're looking for you. We need to come on right after the Haves and the Have Nots. Look out.
Oh, it's definitely, yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot going on.
But, yeah, so that's going to be interesting. I can't wait to get into that. I'm going to start reading a little bit this week. And, yeah, it's definitely going to be a good time. Something new, something fresh. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And we'll take it through, you know, a couple of different, about 4 or 5 episodes deep. And, you know, give you guys something.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell y'all. You're going to want to know what happened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. But,
yeah, you're going to want to know what happened.
Do you have anything else you want to get into?
I don't. Not on air.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and take it off air then. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brian McKay, and I am with...
T. God is Good Davis.
Yes, indeed. And this has been the Mac and T Show podcast. Thank you for listening.
This is the Mac and T Show. This is the Mac and T Show. We talk movies and TV shows, sports and world news, coasting like on a world cruise. Hosted by Brian McKay and T Davis. Yeah. You can't tame us. We're going to the top. We're becoming famous.
What time is it?
It's time for the Mac and T Show.
What time is it?
I said it's time for the Mac and T Show.